Parshas Vayetse is a study in contrasts, character contrasts. It pits Yaakov Avinu, the Ishtam, the quintessential Ishtam, Yosef Ohalim, Titen Emes Yaakov, against the sinister Lavan Haramai, Lavan Harami, the Ish Hasheker, master of manipulation, of deceit, and double talk. Let's review some of the highlights of the Parsha. As we know from the Psukim, from Rashi, from the Midrashim, virtually every one of Lavan's gestures was disingenuous. Chazal tell us even his initial embrace of Yaakov, Vayichabek lo, Vayinashek lo, ostensibly a warm, inviting overture, was in reality a veiled search for concealed valuables. Lavan's gathering of the locals for a party and to celebrate Yaakov's marriage to Rachel, Vayesov Lavan es kol anshei ha-makom vayas mishteh, also had a hidden agenda. It was a calculated measure that enabled Lavan later to shirk responsibility for switching the kala by claiming that the masses made him do it. They pressured me. Lo yasechen bimkomenu. Minag ha-makom. During the last 6 years of Yaakov's stay, Lavan's deceptions became increasingly routine as he consistently reneged on his agreements, according to the Medrash, no less than 100 times. V'tachlef es maskurti aser es monim. And as Yaakov's fortune soared despite Lavan's deceptions, as each type of sheep that Lavan said would go to Yaakov continued to multiply, Lavan became increasingly embittered. He began to view himself as the victim rather than as the aggressor. As was overheard by Yaakov, the conversations of Lavan's children, Lokach Yaakov, Eis Ko Asher Lo Avinu, Ume Asher Lo Avinu, Asa Eis Ko HaKavod Hazeh. And yet, the full measure of Lavan's pathological hatred of Yaakov became apparent only at the end of the parasha with the disappearance of his trophim, coupled with Yaakov's clandestine departure. Infuriated, Lavan engages in hot pursuit of Yaakov, intent on destroying Yaakov and the entire family, Lavan's own daughters, Lavan's own grandchildren. The Lavan bikesh lakor es hakol, arami oved avi. Bloodshed is only averted because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervening, coming to Lavan, Bachalom HaLaila, issuing a stern warning to him, Hisham Elecha, Pentadaber Im Yaakov Mitov Adra. And how did Yaakov react to Lavan's unrelenting exploitation? The answer is with an extraordinary sense of faith and equanimity. After initially being deprived Rachel, his rightful bride, Yaakov worked an additional 7 years, which the Pasuk describes as Sheva Shanim Acheros, equating them with the first seven, to indicate, as Rashi tells us, that despite having been tricked, Yaakov worked now for another 7 years with the same sense of commitment as he did for the first seven. Maharishonos Be'amuna, Af Acharonos Be'amuna. Yaakov Avinu's personification of Midas HaEmes is most evident at the end of the parsha. In his impassioned response to Lavan's tirade, in which Yaakov Avinu offers stirring testimony to his unwavering loyalty and his meticulous honesty. Zeh esrim shana anochi imach, Bechelecha v'izecha lo shikelu ve'elei tzoncha lo acholti. 20 years I'm with you in your house. Your goats never miscarried. I never ate your rams. Treifa lo eves yelecha. I never brought you an animal that was mutilated. Anochi achatena miyadi tivakshena. I would bear the loss. Gnu v'siyom u'gnu v'siloila. Whether it was stolen by day or by night. Hayisi v'yom achalani chore v'kerach baloila v'atidat shnasi me'enoi. This is how I was. In the day, the scorching heat consumed me. At night, I was freezing cold. I didn't sleep at night. 20 years I'm with you, Lavan. Avadaticha arba asvei shana b'shtev nosecha b'shei shanim b'tzonecha. 14 years I worked for your two daughters, 6 years for your sheep. Vatachlef es maskurti aseres monim. Lule yelukei avi yelukei avroam upachad yitzchak koyoli ki ata reikom shilachtani. Were it not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God of Avram and of Yitzchak, I would have left you empty-handed. What is remarkable here is not merely what Yaakov said, but the way in which he said it. Yaakov's defense was as dignified as his labor, firm but devoid of any bitterness, without engaging in ad hominem attacks on Lavan. You liar, lowlife, trickster, ganef, scoundrel, whatever you pick the word. Yaakov eloquently placed the blame where it rightfully belonged. And the Medrash taps into this by commenting, Kavdanusan shel avos, velo anvesanusan shel banim. Better the grievances of the avos than the humility, than the anava of the children. We would have hoped that Yaakov's dramatic words would leave an impression on the callous Lavan. Yet, what was Lavan's reaction? Vayan Lavan vayomer el Yaakov, ha'banos v'nosai, v'habanim banai, v'hatzon soni, v'chol asher atoro elihu. Mine, 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 everything is mine. So steeped was Lavan in his own delusions, that even the most heartfelt bearing of the truth left him unfazed. It was as if Yaakov was talking to the four walls. Lihu, it's all mine. The sharp contrast between Yaakov and Lavan is underscored by the Torah at the end of the parsha, when the Torah describes their parting. Vayelech vayoshav Lavan limkomo, v'Yaakov halach lidarko. Says the Meshech Chachma. Lavan halach limkomo. Lavan went back, he returned to his place. Unchanged, unaffected, not just geographically, but also morally and spiritually. He was no better off than he was before he met Yaakov. Yaakov, on the other hand, halach lidarko. Yaakov went on a path. Yaakov continued in his quest as a model in Avodas Hashem, having managed to survive and even to thrive over the course of 20 years in the company of an Isha Sheker, of an Isha Ramai, having successfully warded off the Sheker of Lavan with the weapon of Emes. Yaakov's spiritual achievements were soon validated in the form of Vayifka Ubo Malachei Elokim, with an encounter with Kadosh Baruch Hu's angels. Masa avos simen labanim, ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh. Until Mashiach comes, there will always be manifestations of Lavan in the world around us. Witness the double standards that the state of Israel is held to by the United Nations, by enlightened Europe, by their cheerleaders all over the world. As we say in the Haggadah, shebechol dor vador omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. And then we say something else right after that. Seu amad, ma bikesh Lavan harami lasos liyakov avinu, sheparo lo gazar el alaschorim, velavan bikesh lakor es hakol. What is the connection between the first paragraph, the vihisha amda, shebechol dov adar amda malenu lechaloseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam, and what we say right afterwards, seu amad, ma bikesh Lavan harami lasos liyakov avinu? The Vilna Gaon explains it this way. Just as Lavan's intentions, his true intentions, to destroy, to annihilate Yaakov, were not always so apparent on the outside, and so the true motives of Sonei Yisrael are not always so obvious either. What passes as friendly talk on the outside often covers up, often masks a hidden agenda which is much more hostile. And just as Lavan's plots were foiled time and time again, as Yaakov attests, and the true extent of the peril and the salvation only became clear through Lavan's own admission. Yesh le'el yadi lasos imachem ra, de'lokei avichem emesh amar le'emor. Lavan admits that he would have done worse, but he couldn't do anything. So, says the Gra, has it been throughout our own history as a nation, v'kodesh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam. Hashem is saving us constantly, often in ways that we ourselves are not even fully aware of. Parshas Vayetze reminds us of the importance of confronting sheker with emes, and not just standing up for emes, but doing so with a sense of dignity and integrity. The parsha also reminds us that we should never delude ourselves into thinking that we are actually capable of changing the lovens of the world. This may well be impossible, and even our most eloquent defense may very well fall on deaf ears. What is required of us is to do our share, and then to place our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The conflict between Yaakov and Lavan, between Emes and Sheker, is not just played out on the world stage, but also in our day-to-day lives. While it's highly unlikely that any of us interact on a daily basis, I would certainly hope that we don't, with individuals as devious and as abusive as Lavan, many of us have probably experienced situations in which we felt exploited, we felt taken advantage of. And at times like these, when we feel and we know that we're being treated unfairly, it's not fair, it's especially important to remember the model of Yaakov Avinu, the Isha Emes. I want to take this on a deeper level too. What really is it, Midas HaEmes? What does it really mean? What was it that drove Yaakov? What is the Emes of Titein Emes LiYaakov? In Ashmona Esrei of Shabbos and Yantif, we ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'taher libeinu l'avdecha be'emes. How do we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with emes? And I think the answer is by directing all of what we do toward a higher purpose of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The essence of Midas HaEmes is to live a purposeful life, so that everything we do is aligned with our deepest and highest values. And that too goes to the heart of the struggle between Yaakov and Lavan, because for Lavan, every gesture was fueled by a self-serving ulterior motive. Nothing was true, nothing was genuine. For Yaakov, on the other hand, every action was lishma. It was channeled for a particular higher goal of establishing Knesset Yisrael. This may be what Chazal mean when they explain Rashi quotes on the Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, Reuven b'choria ta kochi v'reishis oni, that Reuven was conceived from Yaakov's first drop of zera, shelo ra keri miyomav. In other words, every aspect of Yaakov's existence was purposeful. No potential was wasted, no talent went unutilized. That's Midas HaEmes. The Midah of Emes means to give everything 100%. The 14 years that Yaakov spent prior to coming to Lavan, the 14 years that Chazal tell us Yaakov was in the base medrash of Eiver, are described in the words of Chazal as his being nitman, the base Eiver. Literally, what is nitman? Hidden, submerged, buried. What's the connotation of nitman? That every fiber of Yaakov's being was immersed in Talmud Torah. And that's consistent with what Rashi quotes at the beginning of the parasha, Vayishkav b'makom ahu, that only now in Beisel, after 14 years, did Yaakov actually lay down for normal night's sleep, as opposed to the 14 years before when he was engrossed in Talmud Torah, yomam v'layla. And this sense of purposefulness of Yaakov Avinu carried over into the years he spent with Lavan. And it was what allowed him to infuse those second 7 years of work with the same level of commitment. Maharishonos be'amunah, afachronos be'amunah. This is where he's at now. And so he puts his life and soul into those 7 years. And so it was for the final 6 years, as the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Chirus, V'chein chayiv adam lavod b'chol kocho, says the Rambam, Shehare Yaakov hatzadik, Omar, ki b'chol kochi avadati as avichen. Yaakov is a model for every employee to work b'chol kocho. We as B'nai Torah in Yeshiva Saber Yitzchak Elchanan, Yeshiva University, face a unique challenge in this regard. The time that I'm sure almost all of us spent in Eretz Yisrael was, in a sense, an experience of being nitman, b'deis midrasho shel shem ve'ever, totally submerged in Talmud Torah. It was perhaps easy then to focus our energies intensely, to infuse everything we did there with a spirit of emes. Today, now, on a practical level, our daily schedule is bifurcated, part for Talmud Torah and part for Limudei Chol. The dichotomy is often hard to integrate, and it's easy to feel crushed by the demands of a dual curriculum. Precisely for this reason, it's critical that we tap into the midah of emes and to regain that sense of purposefulness, of commitment, of idealism. Needless to say, having a sense of purpose is especially critical for Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah kineged kulam. Every day in Birchas HaTorah, v'niya anachnu, we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, v'niya anachnu v'tzetzainu, 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 kulanu yodei shmecha, v'lomdei tzoresecha lishma. That's the ideal of Talmud Torah. In the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, Rav Meir extols the credible madrega of one who is osik b'Torah l'shma, kol osik b'Torah l'shma, zocha l'dvarim harbe, v'lo od, el shekol ha'olam kedai hulo, and so on. But the challenge of midas ha'emes also relates to the time spent on mada. While Torah has to always remain the ikar, and all that we study should be assimilated through the prism of Torah and the values of Torah, we should not feel in the least bit apologetic about our secular studies. There's certainly ample justification within a Torah Hashkafa for pursuing a quality higher secular education. You can call it what you want, Torah Derech Eretz, Torah Mada, something else in between, whatever you want to call it. We should recognize that the enterprise itself is not a b'dieved. Are there particular aspects of conflict that are problematic and need to be worked out? Of course. And all of these issues should be raised and should be addressed, but always in a spirit of emes, of integrity, and in good faith. Okay, on a practical level, what does all this mean? Sounds very nice in the abstract, but working hard, as you all do in yeshiva, involved on a daily basis in Torah, and also in Derech Eretz, in Mada, day after day, certainly has its very real challenges. It is natural, I hear stories, but I can only imagine to multiply it by who knows how many, how overwhelmed one can feel, how burnt out, how existentially lost, how pulled in multiple directions. Should I go on this Kiruv Shabbaton? Should I get more involved in the CJF? What about joining other clubs or extracurricular activities? How about volunteering for the SOY Sfarim sale? Is it worth doing a double major? Not to mention starting to go out on Shidduch dates. And all of this, of course, while maintaining a regular night seder. There are not always right answers or wrong answers per se. And there's certainly no single right answer across the board for every single individual in every single situation. Often, the key lies in finding a balance that is consistent with one's own personal strengths and inclinations. To think through the balancing act enough to feel a sense of inner peace with the way you divide your time, so that you can give whatever is on your plate at a given moment the attention that it deserves. To live life with the midah of emes is to do everything in its time with focus and with integrity and with a sense of inner purpose. not to be sitting in front of the Gemara and be preoccupied with the calculus exam, or to be studying calculus and not absorbing anything because you feel guilty that you're not in the Beis Medrash, or taking on a new project but not following through because you haven't really figured out the extent of what was really involved. Emes means using our time wisely as a way to reach our unique potential in Avodas Hashem, giving our full attention to whatever we do and finding a way to incorporate all of that which we do within the framework of Torah. The full level of Emes attained by Yaakov Avinu is certainly undoubtedly beyond our grasp. And yet, we must do all that we can to strive for it. There's a Yalkut in Parshas Veschanan that states, Chayev Adam Lomar, Emasai Yagiyu Maasai Lemasei Avraham Yitzhak V'Yaakov. A person is obligated to say constantly, when will my deeds reach that of Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov? The Bali Musa pointed out that the word Yagiyu, which means reaching, also is closely related to the word liga, which means to touch. Even the slightest contact, the slightest affinity with ma'aseh avos is powerful, extremely powerful. Making a connection, even in a very small way, carries momentum and moves us forward on a path. And just as Yaakov's path after leaving Lavan led him to encounter Malach Elokim, Vayifku Uvo, Malach Elokim, so may our personal path be met as well with signs of Siyata Dishmaya.